I'll turn it over to the condensed version. Oh, there's the condensed version. Luke chapter 19. That is, that's the whole sermon. I don't know why I bothered to print them out. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. You have it? Say amen. You don't say, hang on, preacher. Comes right after 18. Oh, page 14, 18? All right, yeah. Luke chapter 19, beginning on verse 28. Verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethany, Bethany, mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man has set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loosen him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Verse 32. And they that were sent went their way and found as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you this colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now in Matthew it says, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. That means blessed be the name of the Lord that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? Blessed be Him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Woo, I'm going to get excited in a minute. Verse 39, and the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Mister, rebuke thy disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Wow! I like that! I like that! I'm amazed that here on this day, everybody was there. Some of the other scripture talks about they're laying down palm. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. They're laying down palm boughs for him to ride his horse across. They were laying their clothing down. And they were so excited and they were praising and Hosanna, Hosanna be to the name. Oh, here he comes. Here comes what we've been waiting for. Wow, I bet that was a sight. I bet that was an Independence Day celebration. Amen? Everybody yelling and screaming, and here he comes. Here comes the King. Let's see his great caravan that he has. And he's riding on a little baby donkey. Dressed in clothing that anybody would wear. Accompanied by a band of misfits, fishermen. You ever smelled a fisherman? Tax collectors. Still not thought of very highly today. Him and his band of misfits came in. And very shortly after, everybody was praising and yet screaming and excited. The cheering stopped. The cheering stopped. My question to you this morning is, why did the cheering stop? Why did they stop praising Him? Why did they stop worshiping Him? Why did they stop saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name? Because just in a few days, these same exact people are going to be lined up on the side of the road again. Some of them is going to be in a courtyard. But many of the same exact people who were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, they changed their tune and they were saying, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Things change in a short time, don't they? Why did all of the cheering stop? Why did all of the cheering for Jesus Christ coming into the town? Oh, we can come up with quite a few reasons. But one main reason is He didn't come like they expected. He looked a little bit different than what they expected Him to be like. They were expecting a deliverer. Did I say that right? Sometimes my tongue gets wrapped around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. They were expecting a deliverer. And what do they find? A man on a little baby surrounded by misfits. They were expecting someone to come in and deliver them. And the only thing that they knew that could deliver them was a massive army and a super general. Amen? Someone dressed in big armor. Someone that must be bigger than Goliath was. About 10 feet tall. Wide. Be able to make lightning bolts come down. He hit his lightning bolts. And he didn't wear his armor. Amen? And the people were confused. They were expecting something just a little bit different. And I'm here to tell you today, what do you do when God comes to you different than you expected? Get the cranks working. What do you do when God shows up in a different way than you expected Him to show up? Does your cheering and praising continue? Or does it go from my God to oh my God. Does it? How does it go? I'm here to tell you that we don't always stay as excited when God shows up in His time, in His way. Amen? We don't get quite as excited when God says, JW, you're going to have to wait a little while longer for that healing. Great, that's a good hymn. Oh me, oh my. That's exactly what we do. We stop from our praising and from our lifting up and from our worshiping to Him to, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen? We do it all the time because God doesn't do things the way we want. So we stop our shouting. Jerusalem expected one thing. They got something different. They did not understand what His purpose was. They understood one purpose, that He's going to deliver them from all the aches and pains of the world. That He's going to come in and clean house, and everything's going to be rosy. They thought that's what He was going to do. He came for a different purpose. He came to deliver them, but not from the worries and concerns so much of this world. But He came to deliver them from their sins. Amen. They couldn't understand, how can You deliver me if I'm living in the same house? How can You deliver me if the same bill collectors are beating on my door? How can You deliver me if the same ugly neighbors are saying ugly things to me? I'm not you, Buck. How can You deliver me? I'm talking about neighbors. I always end up in front of Buck. I don't know why. How can He deliver me if everything on the outside looks the same? Amen. How about God? Heal me. Heal me. Heal this pain that I got in my foot. And you get up the next day and you still got your limp. Amen? We don't think about that. God, You just didn't do it. Why have You forsaken me? Why don't You heal me? Why don't You do this? Why don't You do that? Just like He told Paul, My grace is sufficient to get you through what you need. And you, until we get a hold of that, till we grasp that, we're not going to be cheering and praising, amen? We're not going to be cheering and worshiping Him. We are going to be like they were. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Amen? Wow. We get fickle. We expect God to show up and do something. And He turns around and does something different. They didn't realize what it meant to be delivered from your sins. Amen? They didn't know. They didn't understand His purpose. They didn't understand God's ways. They didn't understand the ways of Jesus. Thus, they stopped cheering and praising and worshiping. We need to understand God's ways. Amen? We need to understand and accept, because I'm not healed externally does not mean that God has turned His back on me. Amen? I was told years ago, when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, I was told by a pastor that the only reason I had diabetes was because I had sin in my life. Wow. Wow. God allows to come upon you, as Scripture says, so God can get the glory. Amen? Job. I always refer back to Job. Job was a man in good standing, and God thought pretty highly of. And yet, everything Job had was taken from him. Amen? His land, his cattle, his family. Left a wife. Different sermon. We'll save that for Mother's Day. But they took everything. So I ask, what sin had Job committed? None. God allowed Job to be put through such a test that a normal person would fail. But he stood fast, because God had confidence God had confidence and knew that it didn't matter what Satan threw at him, Job was going to stand. Amen? Yeah, he went through a little pity party. Yeah, he did. But he never turned his back on God, did he? Never turned his back and never blamed. He did sit in the fire and threw ashes on himself and says, "Why me?" And I think that's kind of a natural question to ask sometimes. Why me? But God opened his eyes. And the basic answer was, because I love you. But God had faith. Now, just because God doesn't heal you of whatever that ailment is, doesn't mean God has it in for you. Doesn't mean God has something against you. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Amen? It just simply means God's grace is going to get you through it. God's grace is going to get you through it. Amen? And who knows? You may be there to help somebody else. You may have this situation in your life so you can help somebody else. I was the pastor of the church when I was diagnosed with diabetes. I was the pastor of a church and did not realize that there was 5 other people in my small congregation that had diabetes. Wow. I was able to feel good with them, amen? I understood it answered a lot of things. But God's glory, God's glory. And they expected something different. They thought they was going to be delivered and healed from their problems in a different way. But that wasn't His purpose. Yes, He had healed lots of people. Scripture says He healed multitudes. How many is a multitude? A bunch. And in one Scripture it says He healed all that came. Wow, that's a pretty good track record, ain't it? He healed everybody that came. It doesn't say if there was 100, doesn't say if there was 1, doesn't say if there was 1,000,000, but He healed everybody that came. Wow, that is pretty. And they were expecting a miracle man to come riding down in his big armored tanks, going to cleanse all the Romans, take all the Romans out of their life, and give them back all of their freedom. They didn't understand His purpose. His purpose was not to deliver them from Rome, because you will see that 70 years later, a Roman general named Titus came into Jerusalem. Does anyone know what happened? Jerusalem was destroyed and the Israelites were scattered all over the world. And the homeland of Jerusalem, of the Jewish people, did not exist. Not until 1948. But that's a different sermon too. They were completely scattered. They were expecting immediate delivery. God did. We don't always understand. Therefore, we stop our cheering. Amen. God came to deliver you from your sins. Jesus shed His life, His blood upon the cross so that your sins may be forgiven. Jesus may or He may not heal every ailment in your body. He may or He may not. Amen? But regardless if He does or if He doesn't, He still loves you. So then are you going to stop cheering and praising and worshiping because He didn't do things your way? Amen? It happens all the time. It happens every single day. We want to serve God, but we want to serve God and the capacity of being an advisor.
Well, if I was you, God.
Well, you ain't. So He's going to do it His way. And we need to get a hold of that. We need to get a hold of the good times and the bad times. God is still God. There's a good old Christian song that I love. The God of the mountain. The God of the mountain is still the God in the valley. Amen? God is still God. You going to quit worshiping Him because He doesn't do it your way? People of Jerusalem did. They went from Hosanna, praise Him, blessed be your name, to crucify Him. It tells you that they chose a convicted murderer, a thief, and an all-round bad guy over Jesus. Wow. Doesn't make sense, does it? We need to understand God's plan. We need to understand God's way. Amen? This week is Easter week. In a few days, Jesus will be crucified. That perfect body is going to be beaten, humiliated, and put upon a cross with nails driven through His hands and through His feet. I'd be angry if somebody beat me with a stick. I'd be real angry if somebody drove nails through my hands. I'd be super angry if somebody drove nails through my ankles. Amen? But I was digging through some of my stuff. And this is a little booklet or a little folder or a little thing. I guess it's a thing, right? And I keep business cards inside here. And I got this years ago when I used to work for the Georgia Department of Labor. I was a veterans representative for disabled veterans. And inside here, there's several things. One of them is a little piece of paper. I've been here 10 years. It's been inside this booklet for several years before that. And it's it is the seven things Christ said upon the cross. Wow. Nice. I don't know why I cut it out. But I've referred to this, I think, once before since I've been here. And I have a tendency of forgetting where things are at times. But. And it starts off, they heard the words from the cross. Luke 23:24. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't saying forgive all those good people out there. Forgive those that started yelling, crucify Him, crucify Him. For those that has stopped their cheering. Amen? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Number 2. Luke 23:43. He says to the thief that is hanging on the beside Him. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not some other time, but today you're going to be there with me. Wow. Why? He had just stated a fact that most people didn't state. He stated the fact that him and the other thief on the cross deserved it. But Jesus didn't deserve it. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Third thing he said upon the cross, which is really surprising, and it comes from John 19:26. He actually says two things. He says, woman, behold thy son. And then he says, brother, behold thy mother. Here he is, he's on a cross, dying, and his concern is that someone take care of his mother. Wow. And you will find out the one he was talking to was the Apostle John. And from all indication, John took care of his mama. Amen. John took care of her. Number four. And I think this is one of the most popular questions that many, many people ask. Comes from Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus says, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has anybody in here said that? I think we can raise our hands because I believe most of us have at one time or another. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, upon Jesus' back were cuts, bruises, scrapes, bleeding. But most importantly upon him at this time was all of my sins. Not counting yours. All of my sins was enough to separate anybody from God. Amen? At that moment, God had turned his back on him. Why? Because God could not bear to look upon his son with all of these sins. And may I add in there, not one of the sins was his own. Amen. He carried upon him upon that cross all of your sins, my sins, the world's sins that were, that are, and shall be. He carried them upon the cross. He felt something for the first time in his life that he had never experienced. He felt what hell would be like. And that what hell would be like is to be separated from God. At that time, he was separated from God because of all of his sins. Praise God, it was short-lived. The fifth thing he says comes from John 19:28. He says, I thirst. Wow. If you stop and you look at the ordeal that he has been through in the last 12 hours, it's amazing. For those that did not know, Jesus did not die instantaneously upon the cross. He was up there approximately 6 hours. Approximately 6 hours he was up on the cross. For those that saw the movie, they did a fairly accurate depiction of it. It says the day was darkened. There was thunder, there was lightning. See, it was a beautiful day before. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was massive earthquakes. It says the veil inside the temple was ripped in half. Dead people were walking upon the streets. Whoa. We ain't even going into that. says, I thirst. The sixth thing he says comes from John 19:30. He says, it is finished. Wow. It is finished. What is finished? What was finished? Translation. Father, I've come. I've done everything that you wanted me to do. There's nothing else I can do. It is finished. Wow. We can stop and we can analyze all the things that were finished. You know? Man being condemned to hell was finished because now they had a way to sit beside him in heaven in glory. Sin could be virtually finished if they trust upon him. I have done everything that you sent me to do, Father. Granted, we can stop and look back just in the Garden of Gethsemane a few days before, when he says, oh, Daddy, if there's any other way that this could be done, I would appreciate it. I am paraphrasing. I would appreciate it. He says, but nevertheless, your will, not my will. Question for you, Miss Carol. If you knew that somebody was going to beat you with a stick, separate you from your daddy, drive nails all through your body, would you really be willing to stand up and say, oh, hey, let me do it, Daddy? No, I think we might be saying the same thing. Lord, if there's any other way, send Daddy if there's any other way. But he also turns around and says, that's okay if there's not. I will do what you sent me to do. Wow. It is finished. And the last thing, comes from Luke 23:46. Jesus says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Into thy hands. And then what does it say right after that? It says, he gave up the ghost. No man took it from him. They may have beat him, but it wasn't the nails that held him upon the cross. It was his love for you, his love for me, his love for everybody. That's what held him upon the cross. And he gave his life, not his life. I said it repeatedly in the last several weeks that he could have called 10,000 angels. I believe Scripture says he could have called 12 legions. A legion has between 5 and 7,000 people per legion. Wow. Like an army brigade has from 5 to 7 to 8,000 people. And he could have called a dozen. That's more fingers and thumbs than I got in my hand. That's a lot that he could have called to pull him off of the cross. But he did not do that. He completed to the entirety of what his Father sent him to do. Amen. It is finished. Wow. Unto thy hands I commit my spirit. I don't know how many of us could say that. But I do want to tell you one thing, and I want to remind you of one thing. I put out of a lot of little negative things here and negative things there because that is how we are. Scripture says, I, me, pastor, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? I want to tell you today that if God calls you to any purpose, whatever it is, He will give you the strength to do it. Amen? Wow. A lot of people over the centuries have been made martyrs of. They've been prized. That means they gave up their lives for something they believed in. They have given up their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. And they will continue to do that until Christ comes in the twinkling of an eye and removes His church from the earth. They will continue to do that. Amen. Not because these people are so strong, not because these people are superhuman, but because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Because they depend upon the great strength that comes from Jesus Christ. The strength that only comes from Him. Amen? And that is what Jesus Christ wants us to do. He is not looking for supermen, supergirls. He's looking for people that will depend upon Him and what He did for us. Amen? Greater is He that's in me. And all you have to do is ask Jesus to become Lord of your life. Ask from your heart. Ask to come into you. Change your life. This is a hard week. Why? Because I sit and I look at all the unworthiness that Christ died for. I sit and I look at the people that make a mockery of what Christ did for us. They did it in His day, and they're still doing it today. There's those that's going to humiliate you. Those that will virtually throw up when you mention Him. Those that think they have a better way. But I'm here to tell you today, no man comes to the Father except through the Son. And no man comes to the Son lest the Spirit draw them. Amen? Scripture also goes to say in Genesis, I believe, chapter 53, says that there will come a time when God's Spirit will not reside with man. There comes a time when God says enough's enough and He lifts His Spirit up off of people and He turns them over, as it says, to a reprobate mind. Some of y'all folks are pretty smart in here. What does reprobate mind mean? What does reprobate mean? He's going to let you have a reprobate mind. What that mean? You're on the wagon. I don't mean you ain't drinking. I mean you're on the... Never mind. Reprobate mind means God will pull your spirit off of your mind. He will let your mind do any and everything conceivable. Amen? He will turn you over that your thoughts will be... Well, they'll be reprobate. Amen? He will turn you over to thoughts that you never thought were there. And you will be doing things that you yourself never thought possible. Why? Because God has said enough is enough. When is that time? I don't know. All I know how to do is share God's Word. God knows the time. He knows the hour. And He knows what He's done for each and every one of us. Amen? I continually tell you that if there's breath, there's hope. There's breath, there's hope. But there does come a time when God Himself says enough's enough. Amen? I don't know when that time is. But I can vouch for people that I'm pretty sure God has turned over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because they constantly refuse to accept His love. Amen? They constantly refuse to accept what Christ did for you. We started off this day stating, remember. Do this in remembrance of me. As you celebrate Easter, there's going to be a lot of people chasing the Easter bunny. Don't ask me. There's going to be a lot of people celebrating the Easter bunny. There's going to be people donning their Easter bonnets. There's going to be great celebrations for Easter. And most of the people have no idea what they're celebrating. Amen. I want you to stop and I want you to remember what Easter is really about. What Easter is about. It's about our Lord and our Savior dying upon a cross, carrying your sins and my sins, and every healing that we need, carrying it upon the cross, providing a way for us to live eternity. Eternity, that's longer than a week. That's older than your grandma is. A way for us to spend an eternity with Him in glory. Wow. The millennial reign that all of His children are going to come back to, it's only 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? It's as a day. It's what Scripture says. 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. Time is meaningless when we become what God wants us to become. Time is meaningless. Wow. Think about what Christ did. Pray with me, please. Many people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. And then they turned around and said, crucify Him, crucify Him. Let's start the joy again. Let's start the praising. Let's start the happiness. Let's learn to say, Hosanna. Hosanna to Him. Father God, we thank You, we praise You, and we love You with all of our beings, Lord God. Father God, bring to our remembrance that You have said. Bring us to remembrance those things that You have done for us, Lord God. Bring to our remembrance those things that we said we were going to do for You that we never got around to doing. Father God, bring to our remembrance the great joys and happiness that You have set aside for us. Your Word says, though they're weeping in the evening, joy comes in the morning. And Father God, there's going to be some sad times, some hard times. But You said we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You came to share with us. You came to provide sanctification and salvation for us, Lord God. And Father God, let us focus upon those things. Let us focus upon Your great wonders. Let us focus on the Great Commission. To evangelize, to go out to the highways and the byways and the uttermost parts of the world and share Your Word with the world out there, Lord. Every one of us in here knows people that are unsaved. Give us Your words. Words is going to make a difference. Father God, I ask that You be with us, walk with us, talk with us. Guide us. May we be the obedient children that You would have us to be. Your words. Lord, we do ask all this in the name of your loving and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give everybody this morning. Amen.